when we introduced the sugya of the Shabbos, so we mentioned that it's important when one learns the Shabbos that one focuses on the front of the details of any given malacha. Each malacha really is a world in itself. But then one also notices that there are a lot of kolam, a lot of rules, a lot of general principles that permeate many of the malachas. So the next malacha that we're about to begin, the malacha of choresh, plowing, is really a perfect example of this, that much of the lumdus relating to principles that go way beyond just a person plowing his field actually find themselves already introduced to us within the malacha of choresh. So we're going to begin with the malacha of choresh proper, but then we're very, very quickly going to go off into really almost look at Shabbos in general, the basic underlying principles that affect so much of Hilchos Shabbos. Malach of Choresh is Malach of plowing. The person then plows the field, it's Malach of Deraisa. Then Gemara explains that any kind of working on the field, even if it's not literally a plowing, a person digs a hole, there's other kinds of soft field, the soil, anything that's involved in the working on the field, any shape or form, any tikkun on the field, on the soil, is considered to be a Malach of Deraisa of Choresh. In this context, the Gemara discusses the following question. Hachofer Zabor, Hachofer Guma, person digs a hole. Hachofer Guma, but the Eino Tzorach El Afra. The goal of the person's digging of the hole is not to use the hole per se. So he's not really affecting the soil proper. The Eino Tzorach El Afra, he's digging the hole not for the use of the hole, but rather he's digging the hole for the purpose of using the soil. So he needs a pile of dirt for something else, 100 miles away. So he goes and he digs a hole. So he did the act of chofer, which is considered to be part of the malacha of choresh. So he did the same action of digging a hole, but rather than planting inside this hole, rather than using it for the normal purpose of plowing, he goes and he takes the dirt and uses it somewhere else. So what is the status of such an action? So the Gemara tells us that this is subject to a major dispute between the Tanoim, and this is the first introduction to the principle called the Malacha She'ena Tzricha L'Gufa. A person does a Malacha, in terms of action-wise, he did precisely what the Malacha is, same exact action. Nevertheless, his purpose is radically different. Unlike in the days of the Mishkan, when the digging of holes and the plowing of ground was done to use the ground, to use the hole itself, to plant in the harisha that you are plowing, to use the hole for something, this is not what the person's intent is. He's doing the same maisa, albeit for a different dafas, albeit for a totally different mindset, different than was done in the Mishkan, and that is a classic malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa. So the Gemara presents this as a machlokes ha'tanoim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Yehuda, this is still issa d'araisa because he did the same maisa as was done in the Mishkan. But according to Rabbi Shimon, this is not an issa d'araisa because since the gufa is different, the gufa malacha is done for a different purpose. A malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa is not an issa d'araisa. Now it doesn't mean that it's mutter; it just means that it's part of halacha, so it's still prohibited mit d'rabbanan. We'll see as we go on how we pass in halacha this machlokes. That's the first of this machlokes. The Gemara then quickly goes on to tell us that this machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, that is now presented to us within the malacha of choresh, has ramifications to many, many, many other malachas. Another example of this machlokes is within the malacha of hatzah, the malacha of carrying. Carrying, as was done in the Mishkan, was done for tzorech, the item that you're carrying. I want to carry these items to construct the Mishkan. What if a person carries an item on Shabbos to the exact same ma'isa malacha? He went from a private area to a public area, shi'yach, to shi'zerabim, but he did it for a different purpose. Rather than wanting to use the item, he wants to remove the item. Let's say a person takes out the garbage. So he takes the garbage out of his house, right in the middle of the street, to the Rosh Hashanah. So according to Rabbi Shimon, that would not be an issur d'oraisa because it's malach she'ena tzricha l'gufa. He's not interested in using the garbage. When he brings the garbage can back into the house, that may be d'oraisa because he wants to use the can again. But the taking of the garbage out would not be a d'oraisa. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that would still be a d'oraisa. And the Gemara has this kohenim, many, many different malachas. This machlokes, whether malach she'ena tzricha l'gufa is a malach d'oraisa or it's only an issur d'rabbanan. Then, concerning the malacha of choresh, the Gemara presents to us another major principle between the Tanoim. Just coincidentally, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon happen to be the same ones who are arguing on this one, even though it's not exactly the same story. The Gemara describes the following scenario. What if a person is making a hole in his ground? So it sounds like we're in the parasha of the malacha of choresh, but he wasn't even aware of the fact that he was making a hole, and the action that he did wouldn't even necessarily make such a hole. So let's say, for example, he's dragging a chair in his backyard. Nor other meet the keys of himself. So he's dragging a chair, a bench, a bed in the backyard, and there was a possibility that a hole may be made. So what is the status of such an action? Am I permitted to schlep this chair on the soil, knowing full well that there exists a realistic possibility that a hole may be made? Should that be a problem on Shabbos or not? So here also Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are fighting it out. The Rabbi Yehuda says that's a problem. Rabbi Yehuda says that's what's called the Dovash Enem Miskaven, and the Dovash Enem Miskaven is prohibited according to the view of Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says, no, that since you don't know that a hole is going to be made, even if it turns out that the hole was made, that's okay. That's called the Dovash Enem Miskaven, and the Dovash Enem Miskaven is not an Issa D'oraisa. Here, it's even more lenient, because here not only is it not an Issa D'oraisa, it's actually Mutta L'chetchila. So according to the view of Rabbi Shimon, Dovash Enem Miskaven is Mutta Min HaTorah, it's Mutta Min Rabban, it's Mamish Mutta L'chetchila. So we have a two-way machlokes, two-fold machlokes HaTanoi, same names, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. One is concerning the person who is doing the same action but doing it for a different purpose. The other is a person who is doing an action but he's not even quite sure that the resulting malacha is going to transpire. So two different machlokes. So I keep on highlighting the fact that it's two different machlokes because this is critical, because people get confused about this. And in order for us to understand that or apply the principles properly, we have to really, really make sure that we understand the distinction properly. And again, this will set up for us not just the details, the intricacies of Malach HaChoresh, but many, many, many shailas in Uchel Shabbos are only going to depend upon a proper understanding of these two principles. And again, we haven't even begun to discuss how we pasken on these two shailas, but just to get it clear what the difference between these two principles is. So there is a sugya in Masechet Shabbos that throws a little bit of a curveball at us in terms of understanding the differences between these two principles of Dovash Enem Miskaven and Malach HaShenei Tzricha L'Gufa. The Gemara discusses the shaila that actually doesn't even appear in Hilchos Shabbos, but as we'll see as we go on, we're going to have to compare this to other areas of Halacha as well. The Gemara is discussing, not the most common shaila of Zman Hazeh, but the Gemara is discussing a question of the Issa D'Oraisa of Hishama B'nega HaTzaras. It's also min HaTorah. If a person has Tzaras, so it is prohibited min HaTorah for the person to cut that Tzaras off. You're not allowed to go to the dermatologist to ask him, please come and just, I don't want to bother with Pashas Tazria, it takes too long with the Kohen, 1 week, 2 weeks, I don't got time for that. Do me a favor, just remove the Nega and we'll, you know, call it a day. So that is a prohibition in HaTorah. Hishama B'nega Tzaras, the Tosh Bapeh explains thus means that you have to go specifically to the Kohen, and if you remove the Nega Tzaras any other way physically, that is a real bona fide Issa D'Oraisa. So the Gemara Masechet Shabbos in Kuflam Gimel raises the following question. What would the halacha be if a person has a Nega Tzaras, a little baby has a Nega Tzaras, and I wouldn't be allowed to cut off that Nega Tzaras, but boom, it happens to be that the Nega Tzaras is in that Eber where the Bris Milah is supposed to be performed. So now you have a very, very strange conflict in halacha. On the one hand, we have to remove the Yom HaShmini Yimah Basar Allah, so we have to do a Bris Milah. On the other hand, we have an Issa D'Oraisa of you're not allowed to remove any skin that has Nega Tzaras on it. So what do? Where do we go from here? So this actually serves as a source for one of the famous sugyas in Shas of Asei Docha Lo Saseh. Well, we're not going to learn that. That's Yevamos. That's maybe another time, another place. But right now, let's try to focus a little bit how it relates to Dovash Enem Miskaven. So the Gemara tells us that if a person finds themselves in this predicament where they have a mitzvah meal on the one hand and a prohibition of cutting off tzaras on the other hand, the Gemara says, no problem. They can go ahead and do the meal anyway. How do you know that? Menon Emili. It's a special tzaras kosov. It says, Basar, Basar Afa Pishiyesh, well, tzaras, Yimah Basar Loso, and in effect, the mitzvah of Bris Mila overrides the prohibition of Nega Tzaras. Again, not the most common chapter of the Gemara, but that's the Gemara needs a posuk, it's a Gezeras HaKosov, Kach Nemar Halacha, that the mitzvah of Mila overrides the Yisra of Hisham and Nega Tzaras. So the Gemara comes and asks a very, very strange question. The Gemara says, Alam Alikra, why do I need a posuk to teach me that the mitzvah of Mila overrides the prohibition of cutting off Tzaras? I could have figured it out all on my own. How could I have figured it out all on my own? The Gemara says, after all, it's a Dovash Enem Miskaven, because my intent is to cut off to do the mitzvah of Mila. The fact that the Nega Tzaras is being cut off, well, that's not what my kavana is, and therefore that should be mutter in and of itself. So why do I need a pasuk for? I could have figured it out misvara just based on the basic principle of Dovash Enem Miskaven. That's the premise of the Gemara's question. So the Gemara gives a couple of fascinating answers, which again, we're not going to talk about too much, which is very, very quickly. The Gemara says that maybe the author of this statement, of this discourse, the author of this brisa, is Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda holds Dovash Enem Miskaven as also. Then the Gemara throws another curveball at us and says, well, maybe this is not Dovash Enem Miskaven. Maybe Dovash Enem Miskaven only applies when there's a chance chance that the issur may happen. Here you know for certain that the issur is going to happen. So maybe that touches on another important principle of Shabbos called psikresha. Psikresha means that we know for a fact the malacha is going to happen. Or in this case, we know for a fact the issur is going to happen. So maybe this is different. So these are almost like tangential answers, almost like technical answers. Like, don't bother me with Dom Shemiskavina. I'll give you a reason. Hachamai's king is reviewed, Hachamai's king is psikresha, etc. But when all the dust settles in the sugya, what is more important for our purposes is why did the Gemara even ask this question in the first place? Why did the Gemara even dream that this discussion has anything at all to do with Davar Shem Miskavim? So let's backtrack for a moment and redefine Malach Shem Tzich Gufa and Davar Shem Miskavim properly and see why the Gemara's question was so strange. When we speak about Davar Shem Miskavim, the classic example of Davar Shem Miskavim means I'm dragging a chair and there is a chance that a home may be made. What exists in that scenario is that there are two distinct maisim. There are two different things that happen. There are two different actions that are occurring. One is the action of dragging a chair, which itself is permissible. The other is the action of making a hole, which itself is prohibited. So we apply the following rule. When you're intending to do action A, and there is a chance that action B may occur, that is the sugya of Davar Shem Miskavim. The prerequisite for the discussion of Davar Shem Miskavim is the existence of two distinct actions. I can point to dragging a chair. I can point to making a hole. Or if you want to just bring it down a little bit closer to home, the person wants to walk past the sensor. I'm walking, that's action number one. A light going on, action number two. The person's opening up a refrigerator door, a light is going on. So every time one applies the principle of Davar Shem Miskavim, you have to be able to identify that there are two distinct actions that are going on. I'm being mechavim for one. I'm not being mechavim for two. That's called a Davar Shem Miskavim. That's the sugya. That's the machlokes we read in Rebbe Shimon. A malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is not that at all. A malacha she'ena tzricha legufa means there is only one action taking place. So the example of taking out the garbage. I'm doing one maisa. What makes this a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa? In my mind, I have a whole different agenda. My agenda is not to use the garbage. My agenda is to remove the garbage. Or in our original case of digging a hole, there's one action taking place. I am digging a hole. That's all that's happening. Why is this considered to be less of a problem than the Shabbos, according to some? Because my agenda is different. My mindset is different. So rather than digging a hole for the purpose of using the hole, I'm digging a hole to remove to use the dirt. So one could argue that these two principles are so radically different from one another, even though what's confusing about them is that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon appear in both of them. So people, when they just learn Masechta Shabbos, say, oh, there's Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, yeah, it's all the same thing. It's not the same thing. They are very, very different from one another. So comes the Rashba in Masechta Shabbos and Kuflam Gimel, tucked away in the middle of this strange discussion about cutting off Mila B'Tzaras, who's the one who says this clear as day. Sometimes you have to learn 133 blot of Masechta Shabbos to get to the ABCs. So the Rashba appears in the middle of this far-fetched sugi about cutting off a Mila B'Tzaras. The Rashba defines to us, mamish, clear as day, that Davar Shem Miskavim and Malach Shem Tzich Gufa are radically different from one another. One involves two actions. One is the same action, albeit with a different mindset. So comes the Rashba and says, once it's clear as day, this distinction between these two principles, then the Gemara becomes almost incomprehensible. Because the Gemara is discussing a person who's cutting off a Neged Tzaras. So if I would challenge you and I ask you, how many Maisim are there? There's one Mais, he's holding the knife, the neg is on the Or HaOrla, and he's making one cut, and the Gemara is pilpulling about the sugya of Davar Shem Miskavim. That is the wrong discussion. That is an inappropriate discussion. What the Gemara should have been discussing is Malach Hashem Tzricha Legufa, because here he's doing one action for a different agenda. His agenda is not to be betahar the person. His agenda is to do a bris mila. So the correct application, the correct discussion in the Gemara should have been the terms Malach Hashem Tzricha. Should have been Gemara itself confused me. Should have been a Malach Hashem Tzricha Legufa rather than Davar Shem Miskavim. So lest we think, oh, what's the difference? Who cares? So the Gemara called it the wrong thing. What's the difference? It's all the same. It's not the same as all.
Is it really a different agenda? Because in both cases, he just wants to get off the thing that's there.
No, but he wants to get it off for a different reason. He wants to get it off for... He doesn't really care about getting that off. He wants to do this. He wants to oil off.
Right.
So that's a different mindset than the Dishabeneh gets harassed. We're going to see in a minute. That's the Rashba's you say. So comes the Rashi and says, not only does the Gemara ask the wrong question, and the Gemara is talking the wrong language, but it's even more difficult, because says the Rashba, the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about Dovash and Miskaven is a machlokes that appears in Kol HaTarakuda. It's very clear that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are fighting out the issues of Dovash and Miskaven, not just in Hilchos Shabbos. This is not Hilchos Shabbos shiur. This is a Kol HaTarakuda shiur, and therefore the Gemara says in Maseches Nazir that whether or not a Nazir who's not allowed to cut his hair, is he allowed to comb, is he allowed to brush his hair, is he allowed to play around with his hair, is he allowed to shampoo his hair. So the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he wouldn't be permitted to do that, because it's a Dovash and Miskaven, there's a chance that a hair may fall out. And according to Rabbi Shimon, that would be permissible, because even though there's a chance that a hair may fall out, it doesn't matter, Dovash and Miskaven is mutter. So it is clear from the Gemara in many, many places that the Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, about Dovash and Miskaven is true both in Shabbos as well as in Kol HaTarakula. But the issue of Melacha She'etzricha L'gufa, as its name sounds, is only a din in Hilchos Shabbos. There is no such p'tur of Melacha She'etzricha L'gufa outside of Hilchos Shabbos. If that is the case, the Rashba says, then the Gemara's discussion in Masechet Shabbos and Kuf Lamed Gimel is not only off a little bit, it is completely and totally incorrect. Because why is the Gemara talking about a principle of a Yadavash and a Miskaven, when it should have been talking about Malacha Shem Tzich L'Gufa, and Malacha Shem Tzich L'Gufa would have been incorrect here, because we're not even talking about Shabbos right now, we're talking about other Yisurim, we're talking about Hisham and Eger Teras. So the whole Gemara Mitzchili itself is very difficult. What's important for us is, what's important for our discussion of the Shabbos is the Rashba's clarity in this. After the Rashba made it absolutely clear to us, what is a Dovash and Miskaven when you have two actions, A and B? What is a Malach Shantich L'Gufa when you have one action, albeit with a different mindset? So what in fact is the answer to this dilemma? Again, this is not the Shabbos part of this figure. What is the answer to the dilemma? So the Rashba says, Alam de Shavar, the Rashba says that if you really truly understand the prohibition of Hisham ben Eger Tzaras, then you'll understand why the Gemara seems to call it what it does. Says the Rashba, the Isser of Hisham ben Eger Tzaras is not an Isser Maisa. It's not that the Torah says you're not allowed to cut off an Eger Tzaras. That's a Hechitimtza. That is a mechanism to get to what the real Isser is. You know what the real Isser is? The Isser is not going to the Kohen. As the Pasuk says, Hisham ben Eger Tzaras, Hishmah v'lo v'lasser. What the Torah wants you to do is to go to the Kohen. Anything that you do that creates a scenario that now becomes you can't come to the Kohen anymore because there's no nega, that is the name of the Yisr. So what the Rashba just did is a razzle-dazzle shtikotar for those who are interested in learning sugars of Maseches Negorim right now, is that there are actually two quote-unquote maisim. There's the maisa chaticha, and that's not the Yisr. The Yisr is the bilti halicha el kohen, and therefore he just created for us two different quote-unquote maisim. So again, when you learn the lumdas of Negat Tiras, that Rashba becomes the source for much discussion. But for our purposes, in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, what we have to extract is that when we're dealing with Dovash and Miskaven, we're dealing with two different maisim, we're dealing with Melach Shem Tzich L'Gufa, we're dealing with one maisim, albeit with a different kind of maisim. I remember many years ago in Yeshiva, some of the old timers may remember. I don't know if they've had this for the last 30 plus years. They used to have SOY special shiurim during club hour. Is there still club hour in YU? Anyone know? Does it still exist? Anyone been to YU recently? No, nobody knows. Okay, there used to be club hour. What was the club hour from 2:45 to 3:45 on Thursdays? So all the clubs, you did whatever you wanted to do. So all the guys in the Beishmedish thought we'd have a Beishmedish club. So what's the Beishmedish club? So they used to get different rebbeim, different chaverim kollel. Give a special shiur 2:45 to 3:45 on Thursday afternoon. That was always a special treat. So one week they got Rabbi Rabin Vicky to give the shiur. Some of you may know him from Orach Chaim, very colorful personality. Just to give you an idea as to who the Cheshivas of Rabbi Vicky is, as of now, what are his two Sfarim on? Hora and on Caleb, right. So the Eon of Hora and Caleb. I had a fascinating discussion with him when he once asked me why I wrote a Sefer on Bechoris, which I responded, when you tell me why you wrote a Sefer on Caleb, I'll tell you why I wrote a Sefer on Bechoris. He said to me that the mile of writing a Sefer in Maseches Para is that you get 100% participation. Namely, if you write a Sefer about Metziah, so probably 100 people will read it, but there are 100,000 people learning about Metziah, so you get very, very low percentage points. If you write a Sefer in Para, there are 3 people in the world reading it, but there's a good chance all 3 of them are going to read it. So. Anyway, so I remember at the time, I was about 17, 18 years old, so I remember he gave a shiur on the intricacies of the Isser of of being chotech neged saras. I didn't understand a word, but I just remember it was a classic brisket Torah. There's a negator, yeah neged, nishta neged, is a negator, is it not a neged altogether? That's all I remember. I don't know anything else. I still haven't learned sechs negorim, that's the only thing I remember. But this Rashba is important to remember, because this Rashba impacts not just on negorim, it impacts on hechashavs. So now that we have our two sugyas clear as day between the differences between Malach Shetzich Lagufa and Dover Shetzich Miskavet, we now have to address the question, how do we follow, how do we pasken in these machlokes? This becomes very, very important for us to know, because again, the basic principles of the Shabbos are now at stake. So when it comes to the sugya of Malach Shetzich Lagufa, we should plug in the regular rules. The regular rules being, how do you pasken in a general machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara says, Erev in the fourth verse says, that the general rule, we follow the view of Rabbi Yehuda. That would not bode well for us. That would point in the direction of being machmir. Nevertheless, there is a basic rule in Psak Halacha that even though there are certain klalim out of pasken, Rabbi Shmuel you pass like this, and Rabbi Rabbi pass like that, and Rabbi Yehuda Shimon pass like that, the Gemara even sets up for us all the different klalim of Psak, there's one rule, and the rule is that there are no rules. The rule is that the Amoraim have the power of vetoing any one of those rules. So if the later Amoraim decided that this particular case is an exception to the rule, so be it. That becomes the Psach Halacha. Now, sometimes it's obvious that the Amoraim held that is the exception to the rule, and sometimes it's not so obvious, and this is one of those examples where it's not so obvious. So even though based on the regular Kvali Psach, we should have followed Rabbi Yehuda, and we should have followed the view that a Malach HaShetzich Lagufa would be an Issa D'Oraisa, many, many Rishonim, probably most of the Rishonim, were of the opinion that this is in fact one of those exceptions. And there are sugyas in Masechet Shabbos that seem to point in the direction that this case, we follow Rabbi Shimon, and Malach HaShetzich Lagufa would in fact be Potter. This is the view of the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim, with one dissenting view. Many dissenting views, but the most important dissenting view is the Shittas Rambam. The Rambam lined up all the sugyas and said, it's not true, that in the end of the day, the Amoraim bought into the rule. At the end of the day, we do follow Rabbi Yehuda in this one, and therefore Malach HaShetzich Lagufa would be Chayav. So this is a very, very real shaila. Now, a person wants to carry a motzi of garbage. So is that an Issa D'Oraisa? Is that an Issa D'Rabbanan? The guy is a Chofa Laguma, the Eino Tzarech Afra. The person does a lot of other kinds of things that are Malach HaShetzich Lagufa. According to the Rambam's view, those are all Issurim D'Oraisa. According to the view of most of the Rishonim, those are all Issurim D'Rabbanan. Now this is going to become, as we touch each and every Malacha, we're going to see this is going to come back to us time and time again. Some of you may be wondering, what's the difference for this D'Oraisa, D'Rabbanan? Who cares? You're not allowed to do it anyway. So big, big differences. What you're allowed to ask a non-Jew under certain extenuating circumstances, what you're permitted to do with Macham Cholesh, Ugar Sakana, certain extenuating circumstances. So the answer to this question, whether Malach Shezit Lagufa is an Issa D'Oraisa, an Issa D'Rabbanan, is going to have huge ramifications in Ucha Shabbos, and it started in the Malach HaKharish. The original Machlokes started in the Malach HaKharish, of the Chofer Sagum V'en Tzorach HaLafra. So that's concerning Malach Shezit Lagufa. Most opinions hold that it's D'Rabbanan and the Rambam dissented. What about when it comes to Dover She'enah Miskavein? When it comes to Dover She'enah Miskavein, it gets a little bit trickier for the following reason. That when it comes to Dover She'enah Miskavein, the Gemara actually does pasken about this. The Gemara tells us that in this case, we do follow Rabbi Shimon, halachic Rabbi Shimon on this one. So we can walk away and say, great, wonderful, Dover She'enah Miskavein, everything's great, wonderful. It's not an Issa D'Oraisa. Remember we said Dover She'enah Miskavein is not even an Issa D'Rabbanan. So if a person wants to know, can they drag their chair in the backyard? The answer is absolutely yes. Het Pagomer, to drag a chair in the backyard. It's a Dover She'enah Miskavein. We pass like Rabbi Shimon. Even Rambam passes this way. No questions whatsoever. Almost no questions whatsoever. We have to figure out the following, just one point of one nekuda to this question. Namely, we mentioned before that the issue about Dover She'enah Miskavein is not only something in Ucha Shabbos. It is something that touches on Kol Terkut as well. The Gemara gives an example in terms of a Nazir. Can the Nazir wash his hair? Can he not? According to Rabbi Yehuda, no. According to Rabbi Shimon, yes. So we know for a fact that the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Rav Dovah Shimon's Kavin permeates Kol Terkut. And we know for a fact that the Gemara paskins like Rabbi Shimon. What we don't know is, does the Gemara paskin like Rabbi Shimon across the board? Even in Kol Tarkula, there's no difference in Shabbos and Kol Tarkula. It's one issue, it's one question. But do we say, no, not so simple. Maybe there's a difference between Kol Tarkula and Ucha Shabbos. And this is a basic fundamental question we have to understand, because again, if we're able to know how to apply these principles properly, so we have to get the background and understand how they're playing out in terms of differences between Shabbos and Kol Tarkula. So there is a Gemara that appears in Masechah Shabbos that once again is not even talking about Shabbos. The Gemara is talking about a following Shaila. The Gemara is talking about a situation where a person has a certain kind of a medical condition, and the doctor recommends that they take such and such a medicine. The only problem is, the Gemara says, is that the taking of that medicine is not a Shabbos Shaila. The taking of that medicine on a Tuesday is going to have a very, very sad side effect. We know a lot of medicines have strange side effects. So here, one of the side effects is that the person is going to become a sarist. The person is going to reach the point he's not going to be able to have any more children if he takes this medicine. So the question becomes, is he permitted to take this medicine? Obviously, we're not talking about the Ruach Nefesh is done for everything. But is he permitted to take this medicine knowing that he may or will become somebody who has become a sarist? And to cause a person not to be able to have any children, that would be a violation in the Torah. That's based on Psukim. The Gemara learns that from Psukim. That would be prohibited in the Torah. So now he wants to take this medicine, knowing full well that this medicine is going to have this negative side effect. What is the din? Is he permitted to take it or not? So the Gemara says no. And again, obviously we're talking about not a situation for Kuch Nefesh. So the Gemara says no, he would not be permitted to take this medicine. So the Rishonim are wondering, why can't he take this medicine? Isn't this a Dover She'ena Miskaven? He doesn't want that desired side effect. He's trying to do A. He's trying to get a refush limits. He's trying to accomplish action A. And now action B is happening. The fact that it's having a negative side effect, he's becoming a tsaris. Isn't that A, B? Isn't that a classic pulling a chair with a chance that a hole may be made? So Gemara says that that's awesome. And the question is, why is that a problem? So Tosfos on the spot quotes from the She'iltos. The She'iltos was a sefer written back in the days of the Gaonim or the Chaygol. It's already predated Tosfos a couple hundred years. And the She'iltos writes in that Gemara, what do you see? You see from here the following halacha. Says the She'iltos, that even though we follow Rabbi Shimon's view in Hilchos Shabbos, the Dovah Shem Miskavet is permissible in Hilchos Shabbos, but the book stops here, that in Kol HaTarakula, Dovah Shem Miskavet is in fact prohibited, and even prohibited on the level of the Araisa. And therefore, for the person to drink this potion, which is going to cause potentially this undesired result, even though he's a Dovah Shem Miskavet, says the Shiltas, sorry, it's still prohibited, because you can't hide behind Dovah Shem Miskavet. Even though we paskin, you're allowed to drag your chair in your backyard, but you're not allowed to do a similar thing in other areas of Allah. According to the Shiltas, next time a Nazir comes and answers your question, can he wash his hair? So the answer is no. So it's not a good idea. Don't try it. Don't become a Nazir for many, many reasons, but if you do, you can't wash your hair. So if a person is a Nazir and he wants to wash his hair, scrub his head, can't do that. Why? Because you can't hide behind Rabbi Shimon. You can hide behind Rabbi Shimon when you drag a chair in your backyard, but you can't hide behind Rabbi Shimon when you want to wash your hair, or you can't hide behind Rabbi Shimon when you want to take this medicine, because Dovah Shem Miskavet is Osir Minat Torah in Kol HaTorah Kula. So Tosfos quotes the She'iltos and strongly disagrees with the She'iltos. Tosfos writes that we don't paskin like this. We paskin that Dovah Shem Miskavet is Mutter in Kol HaTorah Kula. Not only in Hilchos Shabbos, and therefore that cannot be the correct reason for that halacha about drinking the potion. So why is drinking the potion prohibited? So we mentioned a phrase in passing before called the psik resha. That when do we say that Dovah Shem Miskavet is permissible, but there's a chance that a halacha may happen? What if, going back to the Chashabas model, what if I want to schlep a very, very heavy bench in the backyard, not just a light chair, I want to drag a heavy bench, and I know with certainty that a hole is going to be made. So Gemara has the famous comment, Modi Rabbi Shimon B'Psik Resha, that if you know for a fact that the Malacha is going to happen, that is not a Dovah Shem Miskavet anymore. The example that the Gemara gives, Modi Rabbi Shimon B'Psik Resha, so B'Psik Resha is referring to a chicken's head, most of the Rishonim say. So a guy has the following cheshbon. His kid wants a little toy, a high-tech toy. He wants a chicken's head to play with. So the father's a nice parent. The kid's making a lot of noise in shul. Anyway, if it was a chef, the chicken for him, give him a head to play with in shul. So he doesn't want to kill the chicken. He's not going to kill the chicken. Killing a chicken in Shabbos, this is their eyes, shaykhay. So he cuts off the chicken's head, and he says, I don't want the chicken to die. So he said, Dov Shimon is coming. So Rabbi Shimon turns around to him, and he says, it's a gracious boy, almost. You're going to cut off the head of the chicken, it's not going to die? Of course it's going to die. Dovah Shem Miskavet means there's a chance that the malacha may happen. When it's certain the malacha may happen, that's not a Dovah Shem Miskavet anymore. Remember, there was a certain Rav who said that when the old sichsach about something, and a certain head of a certain organization was let to go in a not nice way. So the whole organization began to fall apart. So when one of the Rabbanim was commenting on this, he says, that's what happens. It's a creation of Lo Yomos. He said, cut off the head. The whole place falls apart. So anyway, so getting back to our story. So comes Tyson and says that whenever A is going to inevitably lead to B, it's not a chance it's going to lead to B, it's for certain going to lead to B. So Tyson says that's not a dumb shit, that's a psychoratia, and that's the reason why you can't take the medicine. So we have to read the back of the medicine bottle in today's Gemara. Does the back of the medicine bottle say there's a chance, there's a possibility of serious, or does it say there's a definitive, it's going to happen. Absolute certainty it's going to happen. So it's machlokes, the shiltus and toisus, what it says in the back of the medicine bottle. So according to the shiltus, it says, there's a chance, possibility, also, dovshim is kavit, kotar kul is also. According to toisus, it better say much more than that. It better say certainty. If it doesn't say certainty, then it's going to, in fact, be moved. So what is this machlokes? What is this all about, this idea, dovshim is kavit and kotar kul and shabbos, we are differentiating, not differentiating, what is this all based on?
Then, going back to our original case,
Oh, so very good, but that's not a Dov Shem Iskavim, that's a Malachia Tzrich Lagufa. That's a different, it's a different agenda. It's not, that's one action. The reason why we were mocked that, because it was a totally different agenda. What Josh is really asking is, isn't every psychoratia always a Malachia Tzrich Lagufa? So that is a very loaded question. You're probably going to have to wait till next week to get an answer to that question, or 6 months from now, depending on what we get to that question.
No, maybe not, because maybe Sikresh is the same as
Dovshim's coming. Oh, yeah, okay. So you guys are ready. You're ready in the worlds of Rabbi Chonans and Rabbi Chaim. You're ready. We're ready way beyond that. We're going to get. Hopefully, we're going to get to all these things. But you can already see we could forget the rest of the 38 malachas and just sit and learn the Sikresh integration. Now, we're going to try not to do that. But we'll try to still get the Yisodos back. So, again, let's just recap for a second. So, we have this major issue that's now presenting itself in the Rishonim about are the sugyas of Dovshim and Iskavim of Kol Torah Kula and Shabbos identical. So the Shiltus is drawing a break between them. He's saying that, nope, you can pask it in one way, another way, the other way. Rav Shimon in Hilchos Shabbos is different, Kol Torah Kula is different, they're two different sugyas. And Tais is saying, no, it's all the same sugya. If you hold the Kula in one, then you by definition hold the Kula in the other. What exactly is the point of contention? What are they arguing about? What is the Yisoda Dov of Dovshim and Iskavim that's becoming unclear whether the two issues are really totally different. So much of this revolves around the Gemara. We won't have the time to go through the whole sugya, but just to quickly touch the beginning of a complicated sugya in Maseches Yuma. So if you may remember, this was part of a Shabbos Shuvah Drasha sometime in the last 14 years. I can't say exactly which one it was, but it wasn't the last two or three, so don't feel bad. But the Gemara discusses the following shiloh. They had a very real shiloh, really real challenge in the Beis HaMikdash. You know, we sometimes think, rightfully so, Yom Kippur, Kedish, Kadoshim, everyone's holding the Elam HaSal Yainim, the Ruchia, it's all true. But as we know from our own small Mikdash Ma'at, even though everyone's in the Heiliga world in Yom Kippur, there are some very practical things that have to happen. Namely, you got to make sure the air conditioning's working, you got to make sure the tent is working, the security, a lot of very, very real data. So don't feel bad, the Beis HaMikdash had the same problems. They didn't have air conditioning, they had other problems. They had a heating problem in the Beis HaMikdash. What was the problem? The problem was, the Kohen Gadol went to the mikvah five times during the course of the day, and sometimes you get a late Yom Kippur, and when he went, the avodah started very, very early in the morning, he had a good chilly night at Yom Kippur, then in the middle of October, the Kohen Gadol's an older man, it can be very cold, and there's a very real problem. The last thing one knows, the Kohen Gadol's going to catch pneumonia on Yom Kippur, that's not going to look, he's going to sue the Beis HaMikdash, that's going to be a whole lot of very complicated, I don't know what insurance companies, I don't know what the mikvah is covered by. So we don't want that to happen. So we want to heat up the water a little bit for the Kohen Gadol. So a real logistical problem. So we have to figure out how do we overcome that challenge. Not so simple, because obviously we can't literally heat up the water, you can't cook on your kipper. So how are we possibly going to heat up the water? So the Gemara comes up with this very, very roundabout way. What we can do is we can take hot pieces of metal from before Yom Kippur, we'll stick pieces of metal in the fire from before Yom Kippur, blazing hot. And then Yom Kippur, in the morning, we'll throw them into the mikvah, and by doing so, it's not going to heat the water very much, but it'll take some of the chill out of the water, and that's in fact what they used to do in the Beis HaMikdash. They would actually take these hot, red-hot pieces of metal, throw them into the cold water, and that would do the trick, to make it a little more comfortable for the Kohen Gadol. The problem is that what they are doing may involve a potential halacha, because what you're doing is you're taking hot metal, and you're in effect cooling hot metal. You're almost extinguishing hot metal. This Gemara becomes one of the most pivotal sugyas concerning electricity, because you're basically heating or cooling off metal. Is that a problem or not? So the Gemara assumes that is a potential problem. And the Gemara challenges, how do you pull off this stuff in the Beis HaMikdash? How can you do this? So the Gemara begins to discuss the possibility of Dov Shem Iskavim here. Maybe our goal is not to extinguish the hot glowing metal. Maybe our goal is simply to take the chill out of the mikvah. Maybe this touches upon Dov Shem Iskavim. So the answer to that question, going back 2,000 years ago in the Beis HaMikdash, is going to impact the ABCs of Hilchos Shabbos. And everything we're talking about is now going to revolve around that sugya. So again, at least we gave a little bit of an inkling as to when you deal with Hilchos Shabbos, we didn't talk too much about details of Shabbos today. We began to introduce some of the yesodos, some of the underlying principles of Shabbos, coming to the realization very quickly that you can't talk about Hilchos Shabbos in a vacuum. You have to talk about Hilchos Shabbos in context of all other strange areas of halachas. Like we said so many times, when you learn halachas, you learn sugyas, you have to learn it through the eyes of Kol HaTorah Kula, because issues that relate to cutting off Neged Tzaras, issues of a nazir washing his hair, issue of how he heated up the mikvah in the base of mikvah, all these issues combined together to create the proper picture, the proper background for Chashav. Hopefully next week we'll try to fine tune a little bit and see how this plays out and then move on a little more with the book.
If everyone can help, just reset.